The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the fourth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and made his home in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what had been spoken through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, on the road by the sea across the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to proclaim, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness among the people. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, the end of our children's sermon is a great place for us to begin and pick up right here, because the message that all the people are touched and blessed as a part of God is a way that we begin with the end in mind. Answering the question, who are God's people, with this answer, well, all the people, is not meant to be a platitude or an oversimplified way of teaching the gospel to children. Instead, it is setting a course. It shows us where God is going, and it shows us where God is sending us, and then asking us to take a step back and work towards living that promise of peace and blessing in our own lives. Beginning with the end in mind is a strategy of journey. And it's a strategy of process. Teachers use it all the time with their students in helping them prepare projects and papers. Businesses use it to create goals and give their companies and employees a focus and a direction. Health and fitness experts are particularly good at this when they use it as a way for you to envision what you want, right? Do you want to run faster? Do you want to feel a certain way? Do you just want to be able to touch your toes again? They have you envision that, and then they help you build a process and a plan to that goal or to that desired outcome. And then you actually have to live it, right, and do it. So Jesus sets forth throughout Galilee in this same way. He has the end in mind, an end that catches all the people up in God's love and mercy and God's story and makes the kingdom of God something that is here and now, that's very close and very real. He also backs up and starts at the beginning. He comes to Capernaum, and he makes this small fishing village, it probably was something around 1,000 people, his home base. He could have chosen another bigger city nearby with more people, with more amenities, with more educated type of people to choose from. He could have chosen a place more like Jerusalem, a place that had a seat of power and activity and had people in it with influence. But instead, Jesus picks a place with the more marginalized people. He picks a place with those who are working hard for their living and for their life, and those who didn't have any kind of big voice in the world that they lived in. And it's here that he begins with fishermen out doing their ordinary job and calls them to be those who begin to follow him. Notice Jesus doesn't promise them anything right here. He doesn't promise them prosperity. He doesn't promise them more fish. He doesn't promise them even heaven or forgiveness of sins at this point in time. He just asks them to come and follow and see what happens when they turn their lives toward God to become fishers of people. Now, I was telling the kids, fishing was a metaphor, too, in the ancient world. It was a metaphor that was a way to talk about transformation, about bringing people out of hiding and into the light of their community. And fishing was also used as a metaphor about teaching, moving a person from a place of not knowing something to a place of wisdom and action. And somehow Peter and Andrew and James and John hear this call and they get that spark. They get this fire in their belly that causes them to immediately drop what they're doing, to follow and see what happens when they're asked to be transformed into living as the children of God that they are and being a part of transforming others. Have you, just think for a moment, if you've ever experienced that kind of spark or movement towards some kind of transformation, this desire to know more or to see more or to follow something or someone in a way that starts to transform you. I mean, I'm asking that a little rhetorically because, of course you have, because you listen to our sermons every week, right? So you know exactly what I'm talking about. The Spirit of God caught them up in a job that Jesus gave them to do, to go and fish for people, to spread the news of the promise that the light had come, had shown up to dwell and live and be among them, and to transform them from a place of darkness to a place of light. And from this home base, this little fishing village, this place of no one big or important or elected or appointed or wealthy becomes central. It is the place where it all starts, just the spreading and the movement of the gospel. This is where the vision of God begins, and it's from here that it starts to spread further and further out. Now, it does remind me of what we just attempted to do with the passing of peace from the children out to you. And imagine this happening also, we did this at the middle school youth gathering, where the worship leader invited two youths forward and gave them a blessing of peace, marked the sign of the cross on their head, and then told them to go out and share it two by two, just as we did here. And it took a few minutes, right, to catch on to what was happening, but it was a pretty cool sight and pretty awesome movement to see, especially I was lucky enough to be standing up front. This blessing and movement moved through a crowd of 400 people. It was like a physical wave of God's grace coming to touch each and every person. For the followers of Jesus, the spark, the story, the movement of the Spirit began like that, with just a few in their hometown. And then they began to live it out right where they were. Then the disciples, starting to move to the territory around them. They were sent into Galilee, and God placed in their path people that they did not yet consider to be part of their story or part of the story of God. They are sent to the land of the Gentiles, and Gentile was kind of a catch-all word for those who were not Jewish or those who might be considered outside of God's kingdom. But here is Jesus teaching and healing and touching and dwelling and being with the Gentiles, telling people that they are also caught up in God's net. So this spark begins to transform again as the disciples go to those on the outside and accept them as they are and share with them the blessing and grace of God. The Christ followers then were called to take the people as they were, just as they themselves had been taken, just as they were, ordinary fishing people from an ordinary town, but given a purpose. This as-is idea had been a part of God's vision from the beginning. Peter Ide, who was our musician at the middle school youth gathering last weekend, caught the youth up in songs. Many, many songs were enjoyed, but one in particular seemed to hit home with most of them, and it was a song called As Is, and the lyrics go through all these different people in the Bible that God called just as they were and they weren't necessarily all that great. Okay? So some of the lyrics are, Moses was a stutterer, David was a murderer, Jeremiah is suicidal, naked in the street. Paul had a problem with specifics left unsaid. Timothy had stomach aches, and Lazarus was dead. Samson was a long-haired, arrogant womanizer. Rahab was a scarlet-corded lady on the street. John the Baptist eating bugs and honey on his bread. Gideon was a scaredy cat, and Lazarus was dead. The chorus goes, as is, he chooses us as is. As his, okay? So you gotta hear that. As his infuses us as is. Never-ending love transcending on our weaknesses. No excuses. He uses us as is. Now, this is a great message for middle school and high school youth to be reminded they are loved just as they are, right there and then. But really, that message doesn't just stop there, because it is an important message for all of us with that unsure, afraid little person inside that sometimes still comes to live and sometimes still tries to convince us that there's no way that God would use me just as I am. But God does, just as we are, to dwell with the people among us and live as the children of God that we are. So who are God's people? Yes, the end of that question is all the people. All the colors, all the genders, all the sexualities, all the politics, all the religions, all the countries. Who are God's people? You are the people of God, and you are called, and you are sent, just like the fishermen, as you are to live into this journey that points us towards God's vision for the world in the here and the now. God's kingdom is not about tomorrow. It's not just a story of our ancestors, and it's not just a story that's being put off for some future generation. It's a story of today. And I will admit that we live in a time and place that has its ups and downs for us personally and for us as community. So whether you were cheering on Inauguration Day or part of the crowds that marched yesterday, whether you're native or foreign-born, whether you are strong and confident or frightened of what may come in your future, Jesus calls you to the same end, to first be Christ followers, giving voice to the voiceless, living amongst the people, using our gifts, our brains, our money, our energy first to live into the call of God just as we are and just where we are, living the words of Micah 6:8 to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with our God. This part of living in the gray is one where we know that we cannot always see the end and we cannot even always see how to get there, but also one where we know that God's vision is to catch up all people, knowing we do not pick and choose who God puts in our path, or when sometimes we'll be redirected in another way that will transform us in grace and beauty, or that sometimes someone or something will be put in our path like a rock for us to trip on, like a wake-up call, but also knowing that we have the light of Christ with us always, and the promise that this light shines and no kind or amount of darkness will overcome it. This is the home base that we live from. This is the journey we live into. This is the promise that we are caught up in God's Spirit and set free to live it. Amen.